The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I said, amen. If I'm seeing you for the first time this month, Happy New Month. Walk up to three persons and say, Happy New Month. Welcome them to whatever month this is. What is this month? What is this month? Don't say November. Say supernatural favors. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready this month? We are about to have an amazing month. It's Zoe month. Hallelujah. This month, God is going to visit us. Yes, God lives in us, but we're going to have His awesome, tangible presence this month. How many of us were around yesterday for the prayer drive? Let me see if you're around for prayer time today. Were you blessed? Did you hear God? Glory to God. What are we teaching on today? Rude. Now, that doesn't mean to be rude. But you can't say, I'm ruder than you. Do you understand? Ruder. That's, let me spell it. If you are here last week, then, hallelujah. Ruda, that simply means if we're talking about a small metal attached to a ship to control the ship. And the closest example to that would be the steering of a car. When you look at a big car, no matter how big the car is, it has a very small steering that eventually controls the entire ship, that determines where the car goes to. And why we are looking at this as a topic is because the book of James refers to our tongue as the rudder of our lives. So your tongue is the steering of your life. So you actually don't get to where you wish. You get to where your tongue takes you to. The same way it is the steering of a car that determines where the car goes to. Whenever you turn the car this way, the car goes there. That's how your tongue functions. It is your tongue that turns you to wherever you have to go to. It's your tongue. And I dare say that many people have missed out on a lot of things because they've been very careless how they use their tongue. And I gave many examples last week. How that even in our human relationships, which we'll start talking about from Thursday, even our human relationships, we can mess things up just because of how we use our tongue. Just because of carelessness in the use of the tongue. And on Thursday, for instance, if you are here, I was showing you how that you could use your tongue to create your future. Do you remember that Greek word? What is it again? Katatizo. To frame your world. To determine what will happen in your world. And we do that with the tongue. And if you've not learned that, then you've missed out a very important lesson in this church. You better learn it. I am big on confessions. You know, right? Very big on faith confessions. Because I can tell you, a major percentage of what brought us to where we are today is that we spoke ourselves to this place. And you are where you are, whether you admit or not, whether you realize or not, because you are speaking, you spoke yourself to this place. And where you'll be tomorrow, you will speak yourself to that place. Hallelujah. And I've shown you that this, your tongue, can affect even your relationship with God. It can affect even your walk with God. Many people have a very weak walk with God because they use their tongue very loosely. I get what I'm saying? Very loosely. They just say whatever comes to their mind. And I'm going to touch that a little this morning. Just say whatever comes to their mind. They don't know when to talk, when not to talk, what to say, what not to say. And because of that, they get into trouble. Because they just say things that they shouldn't say, and they don't say things that they should say. And one area I'm going to touch this morning, for instance, is the area of reverence. The area of reverence. One, you know, if you are in your walk with God, one of the things you should do, one of the things you should be careful about when you're using your tongue, is that you must use your tongue to reverence God. Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments, actually. And whether we argue whether we are to keep the commandments or not, I've taught you, you might not be able, God will not place a demand on you, okay, to keep Ten Commandments, because we're in the New Testament and what have you. But listen, those Ten Commandments should still be kept. Now, in a way, because I showed you, the Ten Commandments are actually ten, but they're divided into two. Do you remember that? Divided into two. Now, what are the first four? The first one, what is the first one? The first commandment. Thou shalt not, we are here today. Thou shalt, Gine were the first commandments. Thou shalt not do it. Have no other God. Should I believe you? What's the second one? Eh? What's the third one? Thou shalt not do what? Bow down to what? Sabbath day should be number four. So there are four commandments. That is the first four. That one, thou shalt not bow to another God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt make for yourself no graven image and all of that. Then this one I just mentioned, shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Then remember the Sabbath day keep holy. These first four talks about, deals with your relationship with God. Then the last six, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbors, whatever, deals with the relationship with man. So when they asked Jesus, what are the two greater commandments? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. So he just summarized the Ten Commandments in those two sentences. Are you following what I'm talking about? And so the first four commandments talks about how you relate with God. The last four, six, talks about how you relate with man. Now, in under that, how you relate with God, one of the things he said there is, you cannot use the name of the Lord your God. In other words, you don't just speak about God just carelessly, however you like. And this is one thing many people have not learned. I won't say much about that, but many people, you know, because of how woke we think we are, we think we can just say things of God and about God, treat the things of God with levity, use the things of God for comedy, use speaking in tongues to do comedy, use prayer to do comedy, use preaching for comedy, just say anything that we just like. That is taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that's why I say, don't use your tongue to put yourself in trouble. That's why there are things you don't even laugh at. No matter how funny it is, hold back the laughter. Because there is nothing funny about the name of the Lord. There is nothing funny about speaking in tongues. There's nothing funny about that. There's nothing funny about healing. We should not use God or his things for joke. You don't just say anything you want to say. Are you know what I'm saying? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. I have a lot of warnings this morning, but it's going to bless you. So there is a way not to speak about God. There is a way not to speak about the things of God. There is a way not to refer. You know, many people try to talk about God and they say, you know, the big guy up there. God is not the big guy up there. You're not even afraid. And it's not as though God is going to strike you, but there are things you don't say so you can keep your heart in the right place of reverence towards God. I get what I'm saying. And so I just have to bring the short one in. When you're dealing with God, dealing with speaking in tongues, dealing with church, mind what you say. Because you must stay in reverence. You must stay in reverence. Even when you are dealing with men of God. Give me this verse of this scripture on the screen. Jude 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've thought from here before, but I think it's good we look at it again. So you find out that you can't just be careless with this of a tongue. Are you there now? Jude is not hard to find now. Jude 8. Uh-huh. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Continue. They speak evil of dignities. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses does not bring against him a written accusation, but say the Lord rebuked him. Verse 10. He said, but this speak evil of those things which they know not. He was given an example. When Moses died, Satan came to contend and to debate with the body of, to contend with Michael the archangel for the body of Moses. And Jude said that even in that contention, Michael did not even bring any insults to Satan. Why? Because that devil was once an angel. Even though he was a fallen angel, Michael was careful not to say you fool. I know what I'm talking about. He just said the Lord rebuke you. He said, but there are people who are not afraid to speak evil of anything. They can talk about anything anyhow. They can talk about prayer anyhow. They can talk about tongues. They can talk about anybody. One sign of, that you've matured in how you use your tongue is that there are things you don't just speak of carelessly. Go to verse 8. Give me NLT. So we can read it together like a mass choir. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let's go together. Add your voice to this. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. Now verse 8, verse 9. But even Michael, one of the mightiest angel of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, the Lord rebuke you. This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Verse 10. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. He said, like unthinking animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them. So they bring about their own destruction. So it's not everything you just say. Some things are way beyond your mouth to talk. So when you see me relate with God, when you see me relate with the things of God, when you see me relate with men of God, I agree what I'm saying, you mind what you say. No matter what is happening, because this is what I want to teach, start from today. No matter what is happening, there is no Christian that can come out and begin to insult God, at least. But at occasion, there are things that can happen in your life that will tempt you to do that. We don't call it insults, we call it murmuring. You begin to murmur up against God in your heart and in your mouth. And the Lord said, I should give a strong warning against murmuring this morning. Murmuring against God and complaining. Who has ever waited for a miracle and it did not come as you expected it? What many people resort to is murmuring. Why is this not happening? I thought God promised us all of this. And they murmur, either they're murmuring against God or they're murmuring against the pastor that gave them the prophecy. And that's a sign of irreverence towards God. You don't murmur against God though. You know what I'm saying now? Are you following me, church? You don't murmur against God. You don't murmur against God. Even when things are not working. Never use your tongue for murmuring. Philippians 2:14 said, do all things without murmuring. I'll wait for you to open it. Philippians 2 verse 14. If you have it, say I have it. Do you have it now? If you have it, say I have it. If you don't have it, say wait. I'll just wait for another 10 seconds. 1, 2. Do you have it now? Let's read it together. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless. You cannot, listen, you cannot just, anybody that is easily given to murmuring when things are not working is actually going to have a lot of problems in his relationship with God. One of the things murmuring does to you is that murmuring short circuits your faith. I say it again. Murmuring has a way of short circuiting where you are waiting. It has a way of cutting you off from faith. Why is this not happening yet? Why have we not gotten this yet? After all the promises, after all of this, I've served God faithfully. Do you know how long I've been coming to church? We thank church every day. I'm not taking church every day. God doesn't even provide this job. This job that he promised me. That stuff you are doing is the wrong way to use your tongue. It is an insult. It's irreverence towards God. So much as you will not say Christian, come out to say, Father, God, you are foolish. We murmur because things do not work as we expected. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, we read about the Israelites in the wilderness. He said, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. And we are destroyed of the destroyer. You know, they were destroyed. Bible said they murmured. They were not destroyed by God. They were destroyed of the destroyer. And so murmuring has a way of exposing you to a lot of challenges. Murmuring is something that once you begin to do towards God, it opens the devil into your life. I don't know whether everything in your life is working now. I don't know what is not working yet. But what you cannot do with your tongue, the wrong way to use your tongue is to murmur and to complain. Are you following me this morning? The wrong way to use your tongue is to murmur and to complain, especially while you are waiting. Especially when you are waiting. Many of us, once we encounter hitches on our faith journey, we switch into murmuring. God, I thought you said it's supposed to come next week. It's last week. Now, it's for 7 days after. I've not seen it yet. What is happening? That's the problem. That's murmuring. It's a bad spirit. It's a bad culture that many Christians have cultivated. Many people don't say it openly. It starts from their hearts. Then it builds up from their hearts. Then it gets to their tongue. Before you know, they're even complaining to some people. And some people may not talk about God. They're talking about men. Complaining. That's not like what pastor is doing. I don't like blah, 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 blah. You see your tongue to mumble. Are you a murmurer? You are actually. You should change. Are you following me? They murmured and they were destroyed of the destroyer. There are things you do and it opens the door for the devil into your life. Now, I know that there are, let me say this, maybe this is very clear. There may be many things that will happen in your life that you might not have perfect explanation for. There might be delays that we don't understand. But you cannot lend your tongue to speak evil. You cannot even allow it to stay in your heart. Are you following me? You can't even allow it to stay in your heart. You can't be blaming God for things not working. You can't be accusing God for what he did not do. Who are you, a mortal man, to actually begin to murmur and accuse God and complain and say all those crazy things and say, who are you again? Are you following what I'm saying now? And I'm saying so that if you are there, you should actually repent this morning. And if I have a habit of doing that, complaining, mumbling, giving that, blaming God, all of that, say, look at all my friends, they're already making it. Because you know, some people murmur, not because they are failing, but because their friends are making it more than them. You know, right? Some complain, not because they are failing, but because they have 10 million, but they just found out that their friend have 600 million. Then I begin to say, oh, why is my life like this? Their life is actually bad. Just that they are comparing themselves with their friends. So their life suddenly become bad. And complaint starts. But why is my life like this? But I went to church with that guy. I was even more serious than him in church. That's what laid us on all of us. Even this laying of our things, self. Even though this laying of us, people are following that anointing. Is it even working? Do you know how many times, you know what's happening to him? Satan has had him in a corner. And he's dealing with his life. He's speaking evil of everything. He's complaining about everything. They don't tell us the secret yet. They say it's faith, 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 faith. Tell us how you succeeded. You are just here doing faith. Tell us, you know, I've seen all those things. Glory to God. Do not lend your voice to become a complainant. And some people bring it out and begin to talk to their friends. I've heard people murmur to you about God. I don't understand what is happening, though. I'll just say my mind. Don't be like that. You actually should secure your faith. That's actually why many people don't actually see results. Are you still here? Don't do that. You know, the thing about it is, when you murmur, even in your heart, even in your room, do not think you are talking to yourself only. God hears your murmuring. Should I say that again? God hears your murmuring. Numbers 14:26. God himself clearly said he listens to murmuring. Even the murmuring you do in your heart. 14:26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of children of Israel which they murmur against me. I have heard it. So God hears when you complain. God hears when you murmur in your heart. God hears when you are speaking in your room, blaming everybody that cares to be blamed. Complaining and blaming. And the last person you blame is yourself. Just blaming everybody. This is not working. I don't know how it works. I don't like all of this. In fact, I'm not going to church again. You know, there are many people that do not go to church again because they are angry with God. Like the murmur and complain. And there is someone that is telling my voice like that this morning as I'm talking. Somebody just brought you to this church and you're just here, but actually in your heart, you're actually angry with God. Because there are things you were expecting and it did not work. Some things you thought was going to happen, it did not happen. You prayed. Oh, no, it's not you now. It's your friend. Somebody close to you prayed and we believed God together and it did not work. And you just told yourself, if that person can believe God and it did not work, then God is not real. That's the spirit of murmuring. It's a discontent spirit. And God hears it and it's going to get into trouble. Are you getting me? Are you following me this morning? Now let me clarify this. Murmuring, when we say we should not murmur, it does not mean you don't share your problems with the right people. You know, there are sometimes your heart is just very heavy and just sharing issues with people. That's not complaining. That's not murmuring. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says we should teach us accountability. In fact, the Bible says confess your fault one to another. So there's something about going into your pastor's office and you say, Daddy, I can just be playing with you. This is actually not working. I'm tired at this point. Now, that is that part. That part. What is wrong with that? That's not murmuring. That's accountability. Murmuring also does not mean that you cannot have a heart-to-heart conversation with God where you are raising your complaints towards Him reverentially. How many of you have that kind of meeting with God? Where you are telling God, Father, can I talk to you? Things are not working, sir. Things are scattering. Your boy is giving up. Father, my faith is remaining 1%. If we don't intervene, there is a... Have you ever had that kind of conversation with God? If you've not had that kind of conversation, you've not had a problem. You don't do it kneeling down. You sit down on the floor. Have you ever seen that person on the floor like that? Say, my God, my Father. That's nothing wrong with that. You are praying, actually. The Bible said, He gathers your tears in a bottle. So God is not going to say to your murmuring. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Murmuring always has a tone. It has a tone. It is full of doubt. It's full of anger. It's full of opposition. That's what murmuring is. It has a tone, a very clear tone of anger, doubt. You say you are God and you are here and I'm suffering. That's not longer prayer. That's complaining. That's murmuring. Are you following me this morning? It's no longer prayer. You say you are God. Should they say this our year? Every year. Because December is coming. You see this on social media very soon. That's crazy. Everybody say this, I need to say, I need to see that pastor that said this is my year. Because this year has ended. Complainants. You know the problem with murmuring and complaining? They blame everybody except themselves. He's not trying to check what did I do wrong? How didn't this work? We should I have done better? He's just blaming God. Because Africa, to an extent, is a very lazy continent. Lazy in their mind. By lazy, I mean, we want to blame God for everything. We want to blame God for everything. An African does not read and face his exam and he says, God did it. You get what I'm saying? We elect crazy people into political offices and then they go there and they don't build roads for us and we blame God. That's why the country is blaming the church for not doing what they elected their politicians to do. So they are blaming the church that the church do not, that it, there are many churches in Nigeria and there are no good roads. So it is the fault of the church that there are no good roads. Why do you have your PVC again? To elect people that will build good roads for you. But we leave people who should blame. We are blaming. Once it is connected to God, we want to put the blame there. We complain. Church. Everything that I'm making noise. If the church is working, why are there no good roads? That's the problem. That's your problem, actually. I heard somebody say, why can't we have redeemed factory? Winners industry. Winners floor producing mill. Mountain of fire textile industry. Well, to start with, all those things exist. All those things. Churches have more than you think they have, actually. But that is not actually the assignment of the church. It's just yet another way to make money and to actually give some people job opportunity, which is not our assignment as a church. Did Peter build the university? Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas secondary school. You never ask that kind of thing. There's nothing like that. Then Luke's hospital. It's not our assignment, actually. But we can do it, actually, to help. But you see, my point is, we just murmur and complain and ignore the real problem. Africa is that kind of continent. We cause problem and we blame God. We cause problem. Because the 2020 Guinea is what is coming now. What's the next election? 27 is coming. They will still bring rice and bring whatever and share. They will still collect it and vote in their own person. And then come within the year and begin to blame God. God intervened. He wanted to intervene 3 years ago. You collected tomato and voted the wrong person. All this murmuring is unnecessary. Murmuring always has this doubt. Just blame. And it's never your fault. But it's everybody's fault. Amen. And one thing about murmuring is that it's always frequent. They don't stop. Every time they always complain. Every time they always complain. Every time. Every problem is an opportunity to complain. And when they complain to a point, they turn to atheists. Which I don't believe there's anybody that's an atheist. There's no atheist in this world. For you to be an atheist is because you believe that it's God. An atheist is someone who lives his life to prove that there is no God because he knows there is God. Now, if there is no God, you cannot form you cannot be an atheist. If he doesn't exist, then why are you an atheist? It's because you know there is God. That's why you are trying to prove that it doesn't exist. And when you hear the argument of atheists, they'll say things like, if there is God, how come there was COVID? So they are actually not questioning the existence of God. They just don't understand how he works. And in some cases, they are angry with him. The same God that wiped off everybody during Noah's flood. The same, in other words, you agree that it happened. I get what I'm talking about now. So you're not an atheist. Let me just help you. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. You have put your heart in a bad place. You know, the Israelites was one major issue they had. They kept those people can murmur. Jesus. Exodus 15 verse 24. Exodus 15 verse 24. Let's walk with the scripture so that we can be fast. And the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? What happened? They got to that place and the water was bitter. So they began to murmur, what shall we drink? Every slight issue produced yet another murmuring. Everything that went on in the wilderness, they murmured about it. And some people, that's how their life is. Just a little delay. And I'm calling it little because you have a whole lot of life ahead of you. It's just a little delay. Start complaining. Why will I fail the exam? But I'm a Christian. If there is God, how can God be there and I fail the exam? Just a little delay. Applied for a job and you didn't get it. Just a little delay. Start complaining. Start crying your face. Next time they're praying in the name of your jobs are coming, I say, yeah, amen. And I'm not shouting nothing. Just a little delay. Everything that happened in the wilderness, people complained. So in this particular case, there was no water. There was water. But the water was bitter. In chapter 16, verse 1, they took their journey from Elim. I know when they prayed, when they complained in chapter 15, God provided, made the water sweet. Now, in chapter 16, verse 1, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of Israel, they moved, and all that, verse 2, and the whole congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you brought us unto the wilderness to keep this whole assembly to hunger. Because after they drank water, chapter 15, they became hungry, chapter 16. Same problem, murmuring. Now, your mind didn't tell that the God that could make bitter water sweet could provide food. No, it didn't cross their mind. And you see, I was thinking that murmuring makes you, you know, it made them begin to admire where they are coming from. Huh? Look at that verse 3. NLT said, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. These are people that were suffering in Egypt. Murmuring. Every small thing begin to complain. And somebody needs to be helped this morning. If not, this your faith that you are believing God for will not work. There is no one that has ever walked by faith that will not tell you that there were times when things didn't work out exactly the way he planned. But you know why many of us don't ever see results? Because once it doesn't just work like that, we switch into the other part. Complaining. I wish you had dumb. You would have received some more answers by now. Because you will not be saying every crazy thing that you have to get. You should not say. Verse, chapter 17, verse 3. And the people tested there for water. Now, in chapter 15, they had water, but it was bitter. In chapter 16, they didn't have water. Now, in chapter 17, they didn't have food. In chapter 17, they didn't have water. And people tested for water, and people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children? What is this people's problem? I think Moses is the meekest man on the earth. But at the time, I'm going to abandon all of you. They told that fire all of you. Murmuring. Complain about everything. And of course, it's Moses and Aaron that they could see, so they just turned it towards them. You want to kill us? So chapter 17, they murmured. Amen. Drop back to chapter 2. Okay, Numbers now. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Hallelujah. Verse 2. And all the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And all the children of Israel said unto them, would God that we had died. Small thing, they would have died in Egypt. Any small thing would have died in Egypt. It was constant. And some of you have seen your life in this story. Every small thing, you just start complaining. Every small thing. Do you think that when we boast about how our faith has worked out things for us, that there were no hitches? You think there were no hitches? There we are. And there will always be. But that's why it's a work of faith. I get what I'm saying. That's why it's the work of faith. And I'm going to show you something you're going to do instead of complaining. Are you still here? In Numbers chapter 16 and verse 41, these guys kept every small thing. Every small thing. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. You know what happened there? The people of Korah rebelled against the Lord. The Lord told the Israelites to shift from them, and the ground opened and swallowed them. The next day, the people began to murmur. So you've killed people of the Lord. No, these guys, everything is a problem. Once you have that discontent spirit, you complain about everything. We trusted God for rice. He brought rice. Why did he bring rice? But he didn't bring foreign rice. He brought local rice. They complain about everything. And personally, and this is actually what gets people into it, many people that get into fraud, many people that get into compromise, this is the problem. Because they wait and wait, and they think they've waited for too long, then they complain. And once you begin to murmur and complain in your heart, take this and please don't forget it. Once you begin to murmur and complain in your heart, Satan will start giving you alternatives. Satan will start giving you options. Watch this. Every time they murmur, they will say, we should have gone back to Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. Satan will let us alternative once somebody says it to your heart. All this prayer, you are praying, going to the video. If you had converted that time of prayer into something else, by now, you should have been a billionaire. Now, that foolish thing talking to you will not remind you that there are many people that are your mates who are not praying, who are not going to church, who are totally broke. I know what I'm saying now. He always has alternatives. Deal with that demonic spirit of hombre, because it's a demon. It's a bad spirit. Bad spirit. Now, let me tell you why murmuring is bad. I give you a few reasons. A few reasons why you don't send your voice murmuring. Amen. First, murmuring keeps you ungrateful. keeps you ungrateful. Because it blinds your eyes to the things that God has already done for you. And makes you focus on the things that are yet to happen. These guys are complaining in the wilderness. They forgot about how God divided Red Sea for them through that same man called Moses. They forgot about how God made bitter water sweet through that man called Moses. But once one rain comes in, you become ungrateful. You forget all the other things that God has done. People that mama seem to live in their today, they forget about everything that happened yesterday. All the miracles, all deliverances, when you would have died last week, when in your second year, you are supposed to have carry over how God came through for you, but now you are in your fourth year and there's a little delay, you forget everything. Murmuring gives you memory loss. You forget all the good that happened and it keeps you ungrateful. 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 So the person that murmurs is an ungrateful person. Amen. And what murmuring does, and this is very serious, is that it stops you from seeing what is ahead. Now, these friends, listen. There is never a dead end with God. Just that once you begin to murmur, you will not see the next step to take. There is never a dead end with God. Never. You know, I said something yesterday by the Spirit when we're closing. I said, if you want to buy a property, and I shared that thing with you because my wife and I had that experience. If you want to buy a property, and you trust God that the money is going to come in, and that day comes and the money does not come in, I said, go and enter the deal. Because either God provides the money, or he causes the cost to be reduced. I was trying to get something recently, and then we prayed, we even put a date, we even put a figure, and then I was just expecting this amount of millions, but that day the money didn't come. When that day didn't come, I told her, I said, let us get into the deal. Simple. We're going to look for the deal. And the way God worked that thing out was supernatural. Totally supernatural. Now, something that was supposed to cost, we got it almost 30% cheaper and better. Why? Because we refuse to complain because there's always a way. But when you begin to murmur and complain, you will not see what is ahead. Now, in Exodus 14 and verse 15, put it up on the screen. When they got to the Red Sea and they were all there, they were crying. The Lord spoke unto Moses and said, why are you crying unto me? I like this scripture. Wherefore, criest thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Sometimes you sit down, you are crying and murmuring, where am I to be going forward? Because there's actually a way ahead of you, sir. But you have to stop murmuring and stop sulking. Then you will see the way. Just that way may not be the way you planned. It wouldn't have ever crossed Moses' imagination that Red Sea would divide. As they were crying, what they were possibly trusting God for is that the Egyptians suddenly turn back and stop pursuing them. Or that a ship will come out and carry all of them. Or that boats will appear. But God has 1,000 ways to meet your needs. When you begin to complain because one way did not work, you shut your eyes from seeing every other thing that God is working out in your future. Will that tell you God is doing in your future much more than the devil has done in your past? Much more. But once you get switched to murmuring, you get stuck. And all you'll be seeing are things that did not work. And things that will not work. Look ahead. Look up. Look up. Stop complaining. Look up. Because God, I said again, there's no dead end with God. No dead end. Look up. It may not work the way you thought it was going to work, but it's still working. So what do you have to do? Look up. So murmuring stops you from seeing what is already ahead. The future is ahead. Remember the story of Hagar that I told you? Go to the wilderness. Everywhere she was thirsty. The bottle of water she had finished. The baby she had in her hand, Ishmael, was about to die because she was thirsty. And she just stood there crying. She started murmuring. God, come and let the child die. She shifted from the child and said, let me not see when the child will die. And God came to her. I told her, why are you crying? Look, that is a well, actually. So all the while, there has been a well in that wilderness. A well of water. But because she was murmuring and complaining, she didn't see it.
Something lies ahead of you. Something is ahead of you. If you switch to murmuring, you will miss out of what God has actually kept in front of you. Stop complaining. When that thought rises in your heart, silence it. Because God is still working. And he's working out something in my future. Are you following me? That's why the next thing I'm going to say, murmuring will not let you hear God. Because when you are murmuring, you are yielding to the flesh. Murmuring will not let you hear God. Because you are yielding to the flesh. Amen. Somebody is telling God, Lord, it's November already. All the things that you say, though, it's November already. Nah. Said that we discussed that I was going to be married before I'm 28. Father, today is my 30th birthday. Lord, what is happening? Now, God is possibly working out something. God possibly wants to tell you something. But once you switch to murmuring, you shut your ears, because murmuring is yielding to the flesh. And once you yield to the flesh, you cannot hear the Spirit of God. That's why, let me say this to you. One of the greatest things you must do, I'll touch other things, but not about the tongue. Now, one of the greatest things you must do when things are not working the way you thought they would work is to stay calm. Stay calm. Now, because when you stay calm, you can hear God. Now, stay calm. I'm not talking about keeping quiet, literally. Quieting your spirit, man. The psalmist said, be still my soul and know that he is God. You know when Moses got to the Red Sea? That's the first time the Israelites began to murmur on that journey. Exodus 14. The first thing he told them, he said, be still and you shall know that he is God. Hallelujah. Let me show you that verse. Exodus 14. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Now, notice before he said this, they were already beginning to complain from verse 11. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Imagine these guys, that's very interesting. These people liked Egypt too much. Is it because there are no graves? Therefore, as that tells us to carry us out of Egypt. Verse 12. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone. They're telling you, we want you to leave us alone. Now you're carrying us on this journey. You know, and I want to say this to someone. You are in a team or you belong to a church or a ministry, and your pastor launches out on a very big project, and then somewhere along the line, in the middle of the project, money finishes, nothing is working, and you now start talking like Egypt. We told you to leave us alone in Egypt. We were not complaining. We didn't beg you to rescue us. We were carrying our load peacefully. We were suffering in peace. And now you came and carried us. Please give me NLT of this verse. NLC. Didn't we tell you this will happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness. Who talked about being a corpse yet? Now, look at Moses' answer in verse 13. Verse 13 quickly. Moses said unto them, don't be afraid, just stand still. That's the first thing you must learn. Be still. Because when you are still, you can hear God. When something did not work, you did everything, something didn't work as you planned. Now, don't think God has hit a dead end, he will not. And he can never hit a dead end. So what do? Just talk to him and say, okay, Father, so what am I missing? What is next? What do I do next? That's what I'm beginning to complain and begin to. So immediately Moses made this statement in verse 14. He said, the Lord will fight for you and you keep your peace. Then in verse 15, God now said to him, why are you crying to me? Tell the people to move forward. Because he dared to stay calm under that pressure. Murmuring is a restless spirit. Makes you restless. Is someone taking correction this morning? It's a very restless spirit. Just talk. Sometimes you don't say it, it's in your heart. And you think because you're not saying it with your mouth that God is not hearing it. Just your heart. Stay calm. Murmuring yields to the flesh. And once you get to the flesh, you cannot hear God. I said it again. Once you yield to the flesh, you cannot hear God. Once you yield to the flesh, you cannot hear God. Because you'll be hearing the flesh talk to you. And like I said earlier, Satan has many alternatives that he will give you. So, again, mumbling, I said, stops from hearing God. Amen. I don't need to add that mumbling will affect your emotional health. Because first of all, one of the things mumbling does to you is that it makes you feel hated, even by God. How have you ever complained to a point that you felt that God hates you? Anybody? Raise your hand. Ever felt that God hates you? Who has ever felt that God doesn't love you that much? At least at one moment in your life. Raise your hand. Be sincere. I may give you a gift. Can you imagine that? You know, it makes you feel like God doesn't love you. Deuteronomy 1 verse 27. They murmured to a point in Egypt or in that wilderness, they began to feel God hated them. He said, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites. So they began to feel hated. You complain, feel like, if God loves me, why is this not working? If God loves me, why is that not working? If God loves me, don't get into that. So eventually it begins to affect your emotional health. Emotional health, I mean, it can get you depressed. That's what I'm trying to say. It can get you totally depressed. People don't actually get depressed because the issues in their life is somehow too much. No. It's because of their attitude towards those issues. So they begin to complain. But you promised me, Lord. What did I not do right? Did I not serve you? Didn't I pay I actually heard someone pray like this. I can't forget that day. We came, went there for a meeting. It was like a prayer ground, something like that. And this woman was praying. Lord, who did we offend? Did you not pay our tithes? She was just shouting. Have I ever done anything wrong to hurt you? And I can imagine I wanted to say yes. I wanted to sound like God behind her and say, yes, my daughter, you've done many things wrong, but I said, let me not be mischievous. That kind of complaining, mommy, that's not prayer. I know what I'm saying. And then after she would say, I prayed for 1 hour and God didn't hear me. She was just murmuring and complaining. At that point, she can't hear God. The next thing is, she will get depressed. Because once you take the things that's happening to you to heart and begin to murmur in your heart, the next thing, depression sets in. I get what I'm talking about now. So you know, things will just begin to mean so much to you. Mean so much to you. And that's the problem with murmuring. When you murmur too much, things mean more than they should mean. Someone lost 10,000 naira and gives it a very deep thought. Murmurs and complains in his heart. And he begins to think, my life is not working. What concerns 10,000 and my life is not working? Now I'm going to hear things like, I've observed it in my life. I always lose things. Anything I get, I lose. How do they observe it? 10K. If a lot of 30K enters, now, everything will go. Something is wrong with you. It's going to get into serious depression. One place you can never, and I thank God for that, one place you can never find me, no matter how things are going around me, is to complain. Mama, no, you can't find me there. I've had what you can call the worst moments. Or you can never see me this, I'm going to complain, and let alone blaming God. I've had bad moments too. I've had terrible times. I've had times you prayed and fasted, nothing worked. On Sunday church in Enugu here. Okay? Now, I'm a very anointed person, in case you don't know. Are you aware? And it did not start to, I've been anointed for a very long time. Do you understand? On Sunday church in Enugu here, Sunday meeting on Saturdays, things were not working, at least to you. For a couple of months, we didn't pass 10. Now, that's an exaggeration. Okay? We are like, how many? We are like 6, I'll be 7. Anybody that comes will never return. But you just have to come once, you will not come back. Don't worry. It was not working. Now, what you can never find me to, I've learned how to deal with memory. Instead of it to blame me, that I'll go and pray. And one that I think was these two sisters here, Udo and Rose. We finished that day and they were going home from church. And their faces were quite very long. I said, what's wrong? He said, nothing. I said, tell me. He said, Papa, this is not working. We went to so church and this and that. We saw that this church, they had gotten their own instruments because that time we didn't have nothing. What I mean, we didn't have nothing. It's not like we had nothing. We didn't even have What's the worst? What's the easiest thing you can have in ministry? Even clothes to decorate. I'm going to clear it and it's a rose.
Had nothing.
Nothing. I remember when they celebrated my birthday. They had that small place. They wanted to celebrate me for real. So they brought all these seats, stacked it up, plastic seats, and kept cake on top. And put knife. And I was so happy. Because they will cut it. All the people talking, I thought they said, don't bother about that. What did not work today will work tomorrow. And God will never fail that. I went to him and I began to pray. It was in the course of that prayer that a lot of things, even this song that I was listening to today, came from that prayer. That, what's that song again? Priest on every mountain, we will not keep short. I was praying. After that conversation I had them that day. Don't let the devil, and I didn't blame them. Because come on, when you want to set out on that kind of vision and mission, especially when you know the man you are following, this Pastor Henry Onyedikachi, anointed, I've held meetings that start 300, 500, I've held meetings that start 2,000 people, and they were present in some of those meetings. Now, it's expected that once I come, I mean, this is Pastor Henry in town. At least everybody should gather. Man of God is around. Nobody was coming. If they come once, they will not come back. They just push their head and go. Just one time visit us all. Amen. But you do not let the devil. My point is that you can make your plans and they will scatter. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can make your plans in faith and they will scatter in faith. Like while you are still in faith, it will scatter. I get what I'm saying. But you do not cower. You don't give in to murmuring. You don't do that. Glory to God. Use your tongue well. Don't use it to complain. Don't let it depress you. Because the next thing murmuring will do to you is that it keeps you in doubt. Once you begin to murmur, you are in the highest level of doubt and unbelief. Because you cannot even believe for nothing again. You can't believe for other things. The last time I murmured, I can't forget, I've told you guys that story many times, was when I finished writing a book and I couldn't produce the book. And I was very, very angry that day because actually it was God that told me to write that book. Because me, personally, I don't like writing. Now, people don't have to realize that. I don't like writing anything. Actually. I'm not saying I cannot write. I don't like it. The day I graduated from university, my choice was that I would start writing. I'll stop writing. Then I dropped my pen from the university. I was happy that I would not write again. I don't like writing anything. So for me to pick up my pen or pick up my system and start writing, then God spoke to me. And then I even borrowed a system to write. After writing, I said, God will provide money. And I wrote, guess what I wrote on? I wrote on faith. And after writing, there was no money to produce it. And I kept saying, don't worry, the money will come. Don't worry, the money will come. The money did not come. Now, I took the other step. Of course, I've taken the book to where I produced. Actually, the book was ready. So I just went there to tell them, okay, give me the book. Give me some. I'll go to the program I'm going to. I will sell them. Then I'll come and pay. But he said, I'm not releasing one. I get what I'm saying. It's not even one. I called everybody I knew and every people I did not know. And you know how they call it? Guy, they get one project try they run now. You know, if you just say, you would have called me last week. Someone else will say, okay, I'll show what I will do. Call me back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks down. I'm saying I need money now. I'm talking 2 weeks time. That's actually my last attempt at such a thing. After all of that, I murmured. You can murmur all night. Literally. And I was alone. Because I was complaining. I was just on my own. He said I should start writing. I didn't tell you I wanted to write. Now, if you know you didn't want this book to be released now, why did you tell me to write it now? And I was very livid against God. I know sometimes you can be very stupid. And you know the problem with God? You can't beat him. Have you realized? You have that talk, you just sit down where you are. Talk. Nonsense. Nonsense. I'm not insulting you. I'm not insulting you, but I'm just saying how it's on my mind. I'm not. And I did that all night. It was around 2 or 3. In my complaining, I brought the book. I mean, the PDF. I had a PDF copy of it on my phone. And I was scrolling through it. Look at all the things that somebody wrote. And look at the energy spent. And I was scrolling. I was reading it. And I got to one part. The topic for that day is, did it fail? Have you seen that book? Titles of Building Jesus, a study on faith. Did it fail? And I was telling the story, which I'm going to look at very shortly before we close, of David praying for the child. Prayed and prayed and prayed for the child not to die, and the child eventually died after 7 days fasting. And he got up, had his bath, and started eating. And people were so surprised. You need to realize that with God, nothing can fail. That day, I read that. Amazingly, I was the one that wrote that thing. But as I read it, I just saw my wrong. I just repented before God. And broke into praise. Broke into rejoicing. Now, do not think that I will now tell you, the next morning, by 9 a.m., somebody sent money. Nobody sent nothing. See, the program passed, there was no money. The book didn't come out. But I didn't mind again. There was no room for the murmuring. Every time the book came out, the book sold well. Everybody got a copy. If you don't have a copy now, it just means the book sold well. It has finished. We have to go for a reprint. But then that day was the day I learned. Friends, you can actually let the devil into your heart, and he will not stop until he takes where you don't want to go to. It is the highest level of unbelief. It will keep you in unbelief. Murmuring, complaining. Are you following me, friends? It's an unproductive thing to do. Amen. And need I say, it will stop you from receiving whatever promise that God has made to you. Once you keep complaining and you don't stop, that promise that God has made you. You know, the Israelites complained and complained and complained. Did you observe all those people never enter promised land eventually? Because God kept coming through working miracles, but eventually, what stopped them? That complaint. Give me Numbers 14:29. Numbers 14:29. Murmuring will keep you out of God's supply. Even promises that God has made you. Say your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. And those were all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years up and upward, which you have murmured against me. They murmured, God said, for now, you're not entering promised land. So all those people that murmured that wilderness, that kept having that attitude of murmuring and what have you, never entered promised land eventually. Eventually. They didn't enter. Because murmuring will only let you see God's promise, but you will never walk into it. Because every time you want to touch it, you begin to speak with your tongue and complain and harangue, talk. And it talks you out of it. Amen. How do you use your tongue when things are not working? I'll just say two things. Praise. Switch into praise. Switch into glory to God. Switch it to some hallelujah. I'm telling you what works. Stay calm. Yes, peaceful. Stay at peace. And then switch into praise. It says, how can we stay calm and switch into praise? Praise is the highest way to stay calm under trouble. We are in trouble, just switch to praise. Switch into some shouts. Because once you get into praise, it is easier at that point to believe God. The first thing that will happen to you as you get into praise, you even begin to recount all the things that God has done in the past. Romans 4 verse 18. Switch into praise. When you wait and you don't get what you're looking for, switch into praise. When you've prayed and it's not forthcoming, switch into some praise. Who against hope? Remember this on Thursday? Believed in hope. That's talking about Abraham. That he might become the father of many nations. NLT said, when there was no reason to believe, Abraham kept believing. Now, that he might become, he said, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Because God told him. Now see the next verse. Go back to King James. Next verse. Come on. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old. Did I hear the tenderness of Sarah's womb? Now the next verse, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How to be strong in faith is giving glory to God. So how to use your tongue is to use it for praise. Amen. Use it for praise. Sing. Make melody. praise God loud enough. And when I mean loud, I always emphasize on loud. Because those times when those memories are rising in your heart, they are so loud in your heart. So that you have to shout so loud to shut them down. I still trust you. I still believe you. You are a good God. You are faithful. You are singing. You're shouting. You're dancing. Nothing is working, but you are still praising God. So Abraham waited. He got the promise of a child. First of all, he didn't have a child. He was 75. As they were trying and believing God, God promised him at 75 that there would be a child. Yet it took 25 years. Now there were moments of doubt. There was a time he even went to sleep with Hagar. There was a time he even told God, don't worry, let Eliezer inherit all my properties. But there were moments. There could be moments here and there. That's why I told you that mumbling is not the fact that you told God, God, look at how these things are. There could be those moments. But for the majority of those situations of that time, Abraham was in praise. I shall yet praise him. Not just praise him. It's something I've practiced again and again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. For I know things are working out. Thank you, Jesus, because I know you've never failed. Thank you, Lord, because I know your word will always come to pass. Switch it to praise. Never use your tongue to murmur and complain. Use it for praise. Use it for praise. That's another way you cause things to change. That's why there are some songs you should have in your mouth. I'm not saying start playing soccer. Start singing loud. Start singing loud. He has made me glad. You know that song? I am so glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Whoosh.
He has made me glad.
Yes, 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 yes.
I am so glad.
Yeah.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and
all he has done for me, my very soul will shout hallelujah.
Whoosh. Say you can never fail. You can never fail.
You can never fail. Jesus the same forever.
Listen, we're going to sing this song again. But if you are here, that is something you are believing God for that has not worked out, let your voice be the loudest as you are singing it. That's what to do with your voice. That's not time to begin to complain, though, that and that. It's time to loud it. That everyone that cares to hear will hear that God has never failed and will not fail me. That's how to use your tongue. Praise. 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 Are you following me? Praise. And after you do with your tongue, even related to this praise thing, is that you use your tongue to tell God, I still believe you. Affirm that you still believe. Teach that to sing, you can never fail. Tell him again and again, I know you have never failed. I know you will not fail. Job 19 verse 25. Job was sick. Sores all over his body. Lost his wife. The wife had left. Lost all the children. Lost everything. But he still stood up one day and said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. That's what to do with your tongue in that situation. He said, oh Lord, why is my life like this? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my God is working out something.
I know that my God is still setting things up for me. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Look at the next verse. I shall stand upon the day of the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said, even if all my flesh is destroyed, I know that I will see God in this flesh. And I tell you, he saw God in that flesh. Because right in that lifetime, Job was restored. That is never intended with God. Instead of complaining, switch it to some praise. Switch it to some affirmation. I still believe. I still know they are working. I still know they are working. Are you following me, friends? Some heavy affirmation. Verse 27. Yes, my flesh, I shall see God. Next verse. Is it whom I shall see for myself? And my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He was still affirming that things will work. I tell you the story and I close. David, I've shared it, so let me share it again. Had prayed for the son not to die. Had fasted for the son not to die. Lord, please, I know this child came by adultery. But Father, let him be preserved. And for some reason, the boy died. When the boy died, they were afraid to tell David. Because they felt this guy had not eaten all the while when the child was sick. If we then mention to him that this boy is dead, he might commit suicide. So they were just being careful. Until suddenly, Moses, David asked them, why guys, what's happening? Is the child dead? They said yes. And he got up and told them to put water for his bath, had his bath, ordered for food and began to eat. And they asked him, why? What's wrong with you? You were praying some minutes ago. He said, well, I don't have... All he was saying is, I don't have answers for everything. But I still believe God. You know, God didn't let them go. Bible said, after that, Bathsheba, that same wife, conceived again. This time, didn't just give birth to any other child. He gave birth to Solomon. At that time, David didn't have a heir to the throne. But because he refused to murmur when things did not work, through that child, through that woman, Solomon finally came. This may not work how you thought they will work. But if you will refuse to murmur and affirm God's promise, there is never a dead end with God. He will still come true. So David converted his wife Bathsheba and went into her and lay with her. She bare a son and he called him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. There is something that will still comfort that the Lord will love. Something that will still work out that will be pleasing to the Lord. So let this whole murmuring and complaining end. Use your tongue for praise. Use your tongue for thanksgiving. Use your tongue for affirmation. Use your tongue for saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Use your tongue for saying, God can never fail, has never failed me. That's how to use your tongue. As you sing this song, I'd like you to sing it on top of your voice. I mean on top of your voice. Until those voices in your heart shut down. Say, Lord, I know you can never fail. You promised Abraham he had a child. I've heard of people that you helped pass the exams. I'm not different. I've heard of people that you healed. I am not different. I've heard of people that you gave jobs. I still affirm that you can never fail. Lift your hands.
You can never, never change.
Sing like you know what I'm saying.
You can never,
You can never change. I am alone in my land. I am. You can never change.
can never,
you can never, never change.
Sing this song. What my eyes can see, I still believe. Just lift your voice and pray wherever you are. You have 3 minutes. Say, Lord, I still trust you. I still trust you. I still trust you to open the doors. I still trust you. I still trust you. I repent of all my murmurings. I still trust you. I still believe you. I still trust you. I still believe you. Come on. Do that. You have 2 minutes. Talk. Don't say it in your heart. Lift your voice and talk. You've been murmuring with your mouth before. Now use your tongue. Speak loud. I still trust you. I still believe you. I still know that things will work. You've been complaining to people. Tell God that I trust you. I want to hear you pray. Lift your voice. Pray. Say, Father, I still trust you. I still believe you. If you are having difficult moments and you have been praying and believing God for something, I'll give you a song that you are going to be singing throughout this week. Throughout this week. Throughout this week. No matter what happens. Once you remember, you just start singing it loud. Say, God will work it out. God will. It's as simple as that. Let me hear you say,
God will work it out.
Come on.
God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found.
God will work it out.
Yeah.
Sing it throughout this week. Every time the devil brings that thought again, just tell him God will work it out. How don't you know that God will work it out this morning? Are you sure that God will work it out? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. He's gonna do what he says he will do. My God. How many of you believe? How much do you believe? What percent? How sure are you? Are you very sure? It can only be delayed. Eventually, I will win eventually. It can only be delayed. But you know, say, act on it, they die for him. Act on it, they die for him. At the end of the day, the actor must win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me teach you something before I close. How to watch a movie you've watched before. Now, when the actor is passing through tough times, but you've seen that movie before, you just, as others are shouting, they're just smiling. So that's your time. Should I tell you what happened? And they'll say, no, don't spoil it for us. You just sit down. You're not bothered because you know that last, actor will survive. I tell you what, I've watched my life before. And if you've not seen your life, I've seen your life before. He says, when did you see it? I saw it in God's word. I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. At the end will be beautiful. And so, when all this is going on, relax like that man in a cinema who has seen a movie before. I want you to think of this. Think of how God sits down in heaven to watch the things you are going through, knowing what the end will be. While you are crying, he's just like, angels, please tell him that this is not the end. I say, this is not the end. Can you tell that to three persons? This is not the end. This is not the end. We are just getting started. This is not the end. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.